Right. So let me preface this by stating this is one of my favorite stories. It's quite possibly the favorite story. And while this campaign never saw the light of day, the unfolding of its inception and its unforeseen demise may well go down as one of the greatest moments of my career. So pull up a chair, grab some snacks, and if I can tell this thing as neatly, hilariously, dramatically, and depressingly as the movie of it playing away in my mind, well, we're both in for a treat. I promise not to embellish too much. It's June 26th, 2016. I'm in Vegas. I'm full of both fear and loathing. I hate Vegas, and I'm in Vegas. And later that day, our founder, Jim Becker, will send me off into the desert, in a red convertible, no less, to frolic around the Colorado River. He will turn to me and say, "You don't look so good. I think you need to get out of here for a while." And he'll be right. I do need to get out of here for a while. And no, I probably do not look good. But that's several hours from now. And right now, I'm in a hotel conference room surrounded by 20 C-suite executives and managers, and the air is lifeless and listless and stale, and it smells vaguely of cigarettes. Can I smoke in here? And I hate windowless conference rooms, especially when they're in Vegas, and I'm in Vegas, and as mentioned above, I hate Vegas. But before we can even get to the desert and me jumping off a cliff into the Colorado River in my underwear, we should probably set up why I'm here. I'm in Vegas for a funeral. Bowling is dead. So, back in June of 2015, the Olympic Committee announced that in the interest of expanding their competitive offerings and appealing to a younger demographic, additional sports would be considered for the upcoming Global Games. 28 sports were winnowed down to 8 for consideration, among them wushu, which is basically kung fu, squash, and yes, bowling. It was a short-lived celebration because bowling would soon be eliminated from the list, specifically because no one in the younger demo has any interest in bowling. Like an organ transplant or experimental drug treatment, the whole Olympic thing was a last-ditch effort on behalf of the sport. Professional bowling was in decline, which is a really nice way of saying a full-blown tailspin, as in engine, wings, and propeller all on fire, and a pilot tangled in a seatbelt with an Acme brand parachute pack containing nothing more than an anvil and an entire drawer of sterling silver flatware. Between 1998 and 2013, a quarter of all bowling alleys closed. Those that didn't saw interest in bowling leagues plummet. Where leagues once accounted for 70% of a bowling alley's business, by 2007 it was less than 40%. This drop in interest forced bowling alleys to convert to entertainment centers, with costly expansions that included arcades and bars, whirly ball, laser tag, and the like. Now, quick aside here, the industry hates the term alley as part of their, I don't know, aggressive yet ineffective, strictly word of mouth marketing campaign. Saying alley is a big no-no. They're centers. Bowling centers. Can you hear how hard my eyes are rolling? Now, no one sums up the whole scene as well as author Zachary Crockett in March of 2014. Today, the glitz and glamour has faded. Pro bowlers supplement their careers with second jobs like delivering sod or working at a call center. They share Motel 6 rooms on tour to save on travel expenses, and they thrive on the less exciting dime of beef jerky sponsorships. Once sexy, bowling is now synonymous with cheap beer and smelly feet. Oof. So, now, Epic's historic love of bowling is no secret. Back in 2016, we boasted a number of 300 games among our staff, which included a former pro bowler. There were trading cards of her. Suffice it to say, we weren't going to let Rome burn without at least grabbing a couple buckets. And so, in the cold early days of 2016, several of us gathered in a conference room to determine how to save bowling, casually wearing our hubris like a hoodie and never once stopping to consider if bowling even wanted to be saved. In 2016, approximately 45 million people, ages 6 and up, had bowled at least once. Let's say that involves shoe rental, a couple of games, maybe a snack and a drink, doing some lazy math, the only math I know how to do. Call that about $15 a person, right? So that is $675 million annually. If we can get every single one of those people to bowl one more time per year, just one more, we're talking about $1.3 billion. And if we can get a couple of those folks to buy a ball or convert them to a league or bring a friend, well, it's pretty easy to get carried away. With minimal effort, we could transform an entire industry. We could be heroes, David Bowie, actual heroes. So with visions of dollar signs in our heads, we begin the creative process. How do we get more people to go bowling? And we dig at this question for weeks. And in the end, the answer is catastrophically simple. You get people to go bowling by asking them to go bowling. Want to go bowling? Yeah, let's roll. And just like that, we have our anthem. Let's roll. The comprehensive 360-degree integrated national campaign, it's beautiful. It's vibrant, it's engaging, and it asks nothing of our audience too complicated or taxing. The audience set is divided between regular bowlers, those who bowl six or more times a year, and those that only bowl once a year. This allows us to vary our messaging between just encouraging folks to get out there and how to take the next step in the sport, buy the right shoe, upgrade a ball, or sign up for a league. We concept regional events and experiential touch points in major metropolitan cities. We create customizable creative assets for the bowling centers and low-resistant points of entry to get involved and help out. Heavily researched and complete with a flawless media strategy, the whole damn thing is an airtight care package addressed to the bowling industry and sealed with big hugs and sloppy kisses. Winter turns to spring, spring becomes summer, and all the while, our confidence grows. In the last week of June in 2016, we fly to Vegas, our success most certainly assured. Presentation day arrives. We're back to where we started, the windowless hotel ballroom. But it might as well be any Midwestern hotel ballroom, given the overwhelming drabness of it. Four yellow-hued walls, a ceiling, and a floor, the end. At the front of the room is a projection screen and two tables, each with two seats meant for the presenters. Me, our account executive, Tim Morath, who is now our chief operations officer, and Jim Becker. In front of us is a series of tables set up in a U shape with approximately 20 seats. These seats are meant for the presidents, and C-suites from the major bowling manufacturers and association execs will be singing to for our proverbial supper. In the back of the room are three rows of 10 chairs for any would-be spectators, and against the back wall is a whole spread of meats and fruit and cheese and an aggressive amount of wine. We went all out. Folks start casually filing into the room at 2:45, and by 3 p.m. the room is alive with a quiet but energetic din. Attention is called to order, brief introductions are given, bowling is in decline, yada, 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 it'll take a bold move, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I'm vibrating. I love presenting. It's great theater. It's a song and dance, and I'm a song and dance man. I treat most presentations like the bombastic number that closes Act One in any Broadway show. Tim and I exchange an enthusiastic glance. We can read each other's minds. Dude, we're doing this. I know. I can't believe we're doing this. And with that, I'm going to hand it off to Dan Augustine, our creative director, to walk us through the presentation. All right. Showtime. Right. Hi. Hello. I'm Dan Augustine. I'm Epic's creative director. And I want to start by saying thank you for taking some time today. I know this is a big week for all of you, and it means I am cut off by a booming, excuse me. All eyes turn toward the center of the U-shaped table. A fellow that looks a lot like a young Edward Herman is pushing himself away from the table to stand. I don't mean to interrupt, he says, interrupting me. But did anyone here even stop to think about what this is? You've got five presidents sitting in this room together. This looks a lot like colluding to build a monopoly. I mean, did anyone even talk to a lawyer? Can we be here? Is this even legal? Nervous chatter races through the room. There are some angry reactions to Edward Herman's dramatic sentiment, and someone tells him to sit down. He does, but the arguing is building, and now there are even a few shouts. I am still standing there like a dummy, gobsmacked in front of the projection of our deck, currently on slide 6 of 60, and creative starts on slide 34. The association folks are fighting with the manufacturers are fighting with each other, and in a matter of moments, our presentation has become an all-out verbal brawl. like a glob of melted ice cream, making its slow, suicidal plunge down the side of a waffle cone in mid-June in Vegas, I drip back into my chair. Over the course of 5 painful minutes, I slowly turn to face Tim. He doesn't need to read my mind. It's written on my face. What the f***? Any concern for legal exposure surrounding this gathering is gone. There are now a dozen heated side conversations, and most of them are focused on budgets. Who's spending what and where and why? Someone demands to know how much this idea is going to cost, the idea that no one has seen yet. Someone else says about $1 million, and now it's all out yelling. Pure chaos. It's been nearly a half hour since I introduced myself, and it's getting loud. God, I hate Vegas. And just when I think tables are about to get flipped and set on fire, a fiercely intense but hushed voice comes from the back.
I'd like to say something.
The arguing stops. Sitting in the back row, a man that looks and sounds like Marlon Brando in Godfather, but dressed in all white like Marlon Brando in The Island of Dr. Moreau, heaves himself up on his cane and addresses the mob. French horns take the place of my inner monologue.
I've got $800,000 invested in NASCAR sponsorships, and it's doing nothing for us. And now you want $1 million for this?
Quick aside here, again, no one has even seen this yet. We're still on slide 6, the slide that reads who we are. There's a long silent pause. The realization of an investment squandered slowly sinks in. Someone mutters, "You didn't invest it, you just gave it to them with no plan." And we're immediately back to loud fighting. Marlon Brando dismissively waves his hand at the embattled group and trundles out of the room. He's gone. Take me with you, weird Marlon Brando. At 3:45, having expelled most of their piss and vinegar reserves, the mob has come to a consensus. This meeting is over. Half-heartedly, someone in the back suggests Epic Creative put a lot of work into this and maybe we should let them at least share their work. Jim Becker gives me a nod, and I run through about 54 slides in 10 minutes. My bombastic Broadway show is delivered with all the grace and skill of an elementary school production. Cardboard costumes, pant wedding, forgotten lines, and all. There's no applause. Everyone leaves. The last thing I remember, on his way out the door, one of the attendees looked at the spread of food and then turned to me and asked, "Is this free?" I tell him, "Yes, it's free." He fills his pockets with cheese cubes, tucks 2 bottles of wine under his arm, grabs another with his free hand, and he leaves. I don't remember saying anything to my coworkers. We leave in silence. I imagine the joyless flatline beep of a patient monitor as we close the door and fall in with the gross Hawaiian-printed adorned masses ambling through Mandalay Bay. We took the scenic route to the Colorado River. Thin lanes and windy canyon roads. The presentation left me worse for wear, and I took Jim up on his offer to get out of there and climbed into a rented convertible piloted by our video crew, the Tobey Maguire to their Del Toro and Johnny Depp. I wanted to lick my wounds, but did I have any wounds to show? We didn't even present. There was no song and dance number, no charm. Was this a loss? It certainly wasn't a win. We sped toward the Nevada-Arizona border, and the terrain became more desolate, more cracked and sunbaked. The air is hot, but it's real and unfiltered, and I can't fill my lungs with enough of it. The Colorado River is trashed, and I'm astonished by the refuse blowing around the shore and in the water. We strip into our skivvies, leap off the cliff, and we add our bodies to the floating garbage. The current is strong. I'm feeling overly reflective. I'm forcing it. I want this all to mean something, being here, being in Vegas, having our baby sacrificed to the god of gutterballs and nickel slots, but, I mean, does it? It doesn't. It is what it is. The house always wins. let's roll the hell out of here. I hate Vegas.